Hey, this is Rob Unspach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes for those keeping count. This is episode 284, and my next guest hasn't been around in the E-Hero spectrum for 250 plus episodes, almost 5 years.
Oh
And
my gosh.
so we're going to do a deep dive into the person that you want to serve. As an entrepreneur, you have to understand not only who your avatar is, what it really means to your business. So I want to bring on Lynn Swayze, and I think this is going to be an interesting episode, and I want everybody to stick around and at the end go to Lynn's information and ask her questions, hire her, because when it comes to discovering your clientele, who you want to attract, she's the expert. So welcome, Lynn, and thanks for being here. And I know it's been a long time, but I'm glad you're
Yeah,
back.
too long.
Too
Thanks for
long.
having me back.
5 years. But it's funny because I know that you're a brilliant copywriter, but there's also an evolution that I think every business needs to go through, not only to understand the copy, the content, the marketing, but who are we attracting? I mean,
Yep.
we're creating all this marketing and it's great, but it just seems like a lot of it is scattershot and not really laser focused into identifying that not only the ideal client, but that perfect client.
Exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It is too often scattershot, and then brands will say, "Oh, marketing doesn't work," or my favorite is, "Well, we can get sales, but why can't we get marketing?" And marketing, the spend isn't worth it. And too often, so I started as a copywriter, to your point, and now I don't even consider myself a copywriter, even though I do it very well, but I can only do it well because I force my clients to really look at who we're serving and who we're targeting. And I'm really obsessive about systems and pinpointing exactly who you're targeting because you have to. And I talked about this in another one, and I'll send you the links, so you can post the links to the blog post. But I talked about what I call the marketing messaging gap. And so what happens is businesses, they'll go, "I want to do marketing." And so they'll market to completely unaware and unsophisticated, brands, potential clients, and then sales markets all the way over here, and we're like, "Buy our stuff, right now," and nothing is happening in the middle. And they go, "Oh, marketing's not working. Sales is kind of working. We need more sales now." And so, where was I going with that?
Well,
Where I was going with that is not working.
and I've talked about this many times on these episodes, is that my favorite place to go to recharge is Disney World. But most people, most entrepreneurs aren't in Disney World. Disney markets to all types of people, generational, teens, kids, everywhere, because they have something to offer to all of them.
But it's not one generic message,
No.
right? They've got campaigns and funnels and experiences. These are focused.
But the average entrepreneur focuses on one type of client. They don't want, the people that have no money. They don't want this. They don't want they most of them do have an idea of what they want. They're targeting a
If you
certain
ask
type of
them,
right.
if
Well, yeah.
they sat down,
Yeah.
which they don't, in my experience, so let's go to what we were, the sophistication spectrum. Most businesses, if you ask them, they could say, like you asked, who is your ideal client? They could actually define this ideal client. For let's use yours, right? I'm looking for a lawyer. You probably know what size team they would have. You probably know how long they've been in business that makes them ideal, their mindset, whether or not they have a CRM or website. Like, there are factors that you can go, if they have all these things, they're perfect. Send me like 100 of those. But too many business owners never do that exercise. And so our default, for whatever reason, is to go too early, which is what I call So there's stages in a business's life cycle, almost like growth stages, maturation stages. And too often I find when I'm tasked to write copy or develop an offer, businesses have been marketing too early. They've been marketing to the person who doesn't know what marketing is. They're like, what is, I quit a client because they kept insisting on putting out blog posts like, what is digital marketing? Does a marketing agency do? And they wanted to target enterprise level clients. No, you're, and then they were wondering why they were getting newbies. You think because your content is what is a digital marketing agency and not how do our services work well with other agencies? How, you know, not how do you better manage your team? What do we as an agency need to know from you? How can we like nothing that spoke to that advanced avatar, that stage three avatar? They were speaking to like somebody who doesn't even know. Why would you? You don't need to waste your time. I mean, there's some SEO benefit, but I'm on the fence about that, even that, because
Yeah,
if you only get.
well, let's take it to the point where maybe most of the entrepreneurs can understand is they're spending way too much time on Facebook when they really should be over on LinkedIn, where those are the decision
Absolutely.
makers, the other entrepreneurs, the people that have money.
Exactly. Yeah. They're on the wrong platform. They're using the wrong marketing assets.
You know,
They're
when back in a long time ago when I had my carpet cleaning business, I started that thing in 1995, ran it till 2014, and I was running it simultaneously as I was developing this marketing agency. But when I first started, I was allowing the newspaper to create the ads to make them look just like every other carpet cleaner out there because I didn't know. And as I started learning marketing, I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to be in the newspaper anymore because I'm attracting all these people that only want deals. So what I started doing is long form copy, dialing it in to where I really wanted, okay, I want to go in these neighborhoods that are worth $500,000, that they don't drive cars that look like they need to be taken to the junkyard. I kind of dialed it in and I'm like, okay, I don't want that neighborhood. I want the gated neighborhood. So I would start sending letters directly to the people living in those neighborhoods. Now my
you're
ads are,
allowed to do that.
yeah, and now my ads aren't being displayed with everybody else. They're a single source point. As soon as they get that letter, they're opening up. Hey, it's a friendly letter from Rob. He's offering this, he's doing this, he's giving me all the benefits that he's going to deliver. And my sales volume, my average ticket when I was running it through the newspaper was, I think, like $125. When I was dialing it in, sending it to these gated neighborhoods, it was over 600 and some dollars. That's a hell of an increase.
Bravo.
And
Yep.
so when you start learning all that, not only
It's
will
not like it was harder, right?
no,
Was
it
it really
wasn't.
that much harder to do that lift versus?
It was just, redirecting the marketing to the clients that I really wanted to do with, and my sales went up 5 times.
Right. Because you can only do much, so much work anyway. Might as well do the work that you enjoy, that, you know, makes you the amount of money you're looking for. You know, with clients who appreciate you. That's not to say, and I think sometimes when I say these things, people think that I mean, well, don't serve, and I think maybe some marketers think this, don't serve the people who are at the lower end of the economic spectrum. Don't serve the beginners. That is not what I'm saying. We can build an offer for every stage, for every awareness. But
But in the
you
same
probably don't
respect,
want
though, you
to,
have to
right?
have you
It's
have to
harder.
have you have to have some type of minimum service fee. So if I say, hey, look, my minimum service fee is $1,500, all those low hanging fruit people aren't going to be able to afford me. So I can either
But
say,
that's why
well,
you have books.
right,
That's why you
they
have
can read the books,
courses.
they can spend $20, learn this stuff, and they can figure out a way that they can eventually afford me. But I think the problem is most entrepreneurs are like, well, I'm going to ask you what your budget is. And then my brain is going to try to formulate how I can work with you within that budget. And to me, that's the
Go backwards.
stupidest thing because you're going to undersell yourself and you're going to undercut your profits. But if I say, look, this is my price,
Right.
that
And
person is
they're probably not ready.
right.
So, case in point, I designed this to identify churn at an agency. So an agency went, you know what? We that same agency, right, was like, hey, you know, we keep churning clients. Why do we keep churning clients? Now the clients they didn't churn, they kept forever. So I mean, they did well to their credit. They did well when they had the right client. Why are we churning? Well, they kept taking on these what I call stage one clients, which you'll see in the blog post. They kept taking them on, and these clients, and because this agency didn't do website work, didn't do after the click, didn't do landing pages, didn't update the offers, didn't do emails, they only really did high performance advertising, right? Just the ads and scaling that. And they did very, very good at scaling from like one platform to five, you know. So, I mean, legitimate service, but not for a beginner. So they were taking on these kind of beginner early stage businesses who didn't have marketing assets, they didn't have proven offers, they didn't have an email list, they didn't have a built-in CRM, they didn't know numbers. And then they were wondering, well, they don't get us, and they don't have the money to scale, and they ran out of money after 3 months, and then they churned and they wanted something cheaper. So yes, they could get someone to they did pare their service down to reach this type of business, but the business wasn't ready for them. So it was a waste of everyone's time. So it's not just economics, it's also you need to know where your business fits and what a company needs to have ready before you can serve them. And the earlier a business is in their maturation and sophistication, the more shit they got to build. They've got to build more of their website. They've got to figure out marketing. They got to get testimonials. They have to know how they do business. They have to build their email list. Like they have to flex some of these muscles. And unless you want to be the person who builds it all from scratch, which is an offer, you know, but maybe not the one you want to do. It's not the one I want to do anymore. Maybe not the one you want to do anymore necessarily, without like equity. They're not the right person. And it's not that you can't help them, but it's a slog. They have to do some of the work, or they need to pay for it.
Right. And I just looked at our own internal website, our Unspark Media website, and there's over 1,100 blog articles. You know, it ranges from all, you know, it's all
Amazing.
over the spectrum. But and I'm thinking to myself, do I want to take some of that down? Do I want to, because some of it doesn't even serve me anymore, you know? And so some of it is probably going after those
That
clients that
earlier.
I don't want to service anymore.
No doubt. Yeah.
So it's either I can remove them and hope it doesn't break some SEO chain somewhere, or I can go in and slowly edit them. So if they
Shift.
do land
Yeah.
on them, they're either going to get redirected to, hey, buy this book, do this, do th
Right.
but
Right. So
there's
CTA
also,
changes.
yeah,
Yeah,
and
to the
so there's
offer that
also
fits
a
them.
time factor though that I have to go in and slowly, because 11,000, it's just, I mean, 1,100 articles
Amazing and
is a
kudos.
lot. Yeah, it's but and I still see, you know, I go on to websites that have no blog articles, no nothing, and you're like, how do these people still stay in business? And we're getting to the point,
Referrals and warm traffic,
there you go,
but
referrals. And so when you can dial in your exact perfect avatar, those people are going to give you more referrals, just like them. Yeah, and so that's the secret, people. You have to develop your referral network. That's and a lot of them don't. A lot of them never ask. And that was one of the things that I did in the cleaning business, is that after every job, I would either hand them a letter, hey, do you know anybody who could use services that are just like you, that are, you know, they want the best job. And they would give me five or six, you know, people and addresses. And nowadays,
Amazing.
there is nothing on people's websites that say, hey, do you know somebody that could use our services? Do you know a type of person like that? Why?
Because you have to know who you're serving. And once you do, so you get referrals. All of your testimonials feature language and stories and befores and afters that match that particular person. All your marketing language is tailored to it, all your sales language is tailored to it. It's like a snowball, right? You keep doing it and you keep asking for referrals and you keep targeting just, doing marketing or books or whatnot just to this avatar. And eventually your effort gets less and less and less, and your customers keep coming in consistently. But it's focus. And so many entrepreneurs have that mindset where they're like, well, if I narrow it, I'll lose out on customers. I have never, every time that I've been like, okay, I need to take my own medicine and narrow my focus, I get customers like that every time, because that's how it works, but it feels painful.
And you mentioned featured stories. How many times have you gone to a website or someone's social and it's just constant marketing of their product and they never share stories about how that product benefited the customer or how the customer said, "Hey, I was climbing Mount Everest and I just happened to have your book with me and I snapped a picture and I've got
Amazing.
one of those. Somebody last year took my
Amazing.
book to Mount Everest. How cool is that?" But
Amazing.
no one shares these exciting stories out to make someone else feel awesome. Because if I go to a website and I read the story about, and it doesn't have to be from the entrepreneur's point of view.
No,
Have it
no.
from the
I have a blog post
customer's
about that
point of view.
too. Five kinds of stories you can tell, and four of them are not about you.
And so it's not just about adding testimonials to your website. It's out of the customer's story of how not only did they find you, utilize your service, loved you, referred you. That speaks more volumes than any typical marketing piece that they can offer.
On that point, I helped one coach, one mindset coach scale. I mean, obviously she did amazing work. She had a whole high ticket program, and she ended up with 1 million in the first year. And we were going to do other stuff, other blog posts, emails and stuff. And I was like, I think you need to just, she had a couple testimonials. And I'm like, just post testimonials. Like, 'cause she would get them. Like, she did such great work, she'd just get them. I'm like, keep just posting those. That's all she did for her marketing. I mean, we designed social posts and emails and stuff, and she didn't need them. She just kept posting customer language, and before they were feeling this way, and then afterwards they didn't have that problem anymore. And use screenshots of text messages. $1 million first year.
Well, let's talk about the solopreneur, the individual, the one that wants to grow, but believes they have to accept every single client that breathes. And I had somebody contact me and they said, "Well, Rob, I just started and so I want to keep my prices low." And I'm like, "Yeah, but does anybody really know that you just started?" "Well, no, not unless I tell them." "Well, then why are you offering low prices?" And that seems to be the mindset lately. "Well, I just started and I'm not really confident in charging people a lot of money, so I'm going to go in there low price to develop a client base." And then the moment you raise your prices, guess what? That client base is gone. Going with a higher price.
Commiserate with the value that you're bringing. I mean, if people are starting out solopreneurs and they really feel uncomfortable, narrow your what you do. If you're a copywriter, maybe just do case studies or landing pages or emails so that you can do something that has that smaller price that you feel comfortable with. You can get good at it. You're still specializing. And if you find you don't like it, pivot, add another service and focus on that one more. But yeah, definitely don't do. I know I did this when I started. It's like, I'm going to do everything for, $1,500 a month. It's not a sustainable.
I've had clients now. I think my longest client is almost 10 years. And
Congrats.
it's I've told them many times. I said, "Look, all my new clients are spending five times more than you. So we either up your rate or you can go somewhere else." And it's tough, I think, for a lot of entrepreneurs. They don't want to get rid of those clients who helped them get started.
Right. When you build relationships, I mean, I have a client that's at 4 years and I absolutely love her. You don't want to, I mean, you like working with them. You build relationships. You're emotionally invested in their business too.
So it's and that I think For me, it was always, you're my friend first, my client second. And that has really helped bring, I think, break those barriers because they know that I'm not a typical agency. I'm not going to, you know, and I stopped using contracts years ago and people think, Rob, you're nuts. No, my clients stick around. And if they don't like my service for whatever reason, I don't want to have them locked in, bitching and complaining until that
Forcing them to
contract is
work
re
with me.
right.
Right.
And so I, you know, if they say, Rob, you know, we're going to go somewhere else, fine, just give me a 30-day notice. That's all I care about. Just, and you're out, you're gone. Because I would rather have that friendship that they know that they can come back if needed. I'm still going to help them out. And you know,
Love it.
I've gotten so many clients staying with me, you know, just because they know that they can rely on the services that I perform. And it goes beyond that know, like, trust. The fourth one is feel safe. And you know, I want people to know that I got their back. Yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more. No contracts. You can leave anytime you want. And a lot of people are like, wow, you've done all this. I'm just going to stick around because I want to see where you're going to take me. You know, and it's just, I think too many agencies, even entrepreneurs, they feel, oh my God, I got to have this ironclad contract.
Right. When the fact is, they needed the contract because they took on the wrong clients. They didn't specialize their service. They maybe because of that, they were offering a subpar service, and so they weren't able to keep up. If you, they were creating the problem. And I mean, are there clients and businesses that take care, they take advantage? Sure. You hopefully will eventually get to the point where you can, spot it and avoid them.
Speaking of spotting, is that a Freddie Mercury candle that you have back there?
Oh yes, my Saint Freddie. I love Queen so much. And
Yeah,
this
Queen's
it's
my favorite band of all time.
yeah, see? So you would spot, yes, this is secular Saint Freddie, patron saint of rhapsody, bravura, and champions. Yeah, and so it's got a whole I don't know what the word is, but a like little prayer thing. Yes, and so of course a 10-day saint candle. I'll send you the link for it. But
That's
yeah, well, actually
amazing.
it's Philosophers Guild. They have a bunch of these. But yeah, I got it for my birthday. So yes.
And
I appreciate that you noticed my Saint Freddie.
every entrepreneur, please, if you really want to have better types of clientele, you have to bring your personality out. You know, everybody knows that I'm very sarcastic. I've written a whole book, bunch of books on about, you know, my sarcastic adventures dealing with scammers, lousy customer service. And people appreciate that. They appreciate when I
It's
come in,
real.
when I'm on the phone, when I'm dealing with them on a Zoom, that I can just be my sarcastic self. And I've gotten more types of clients because I've been open and honest and funny. And does it rub people the wrong way? Of course, you know. But
But it would when you work with them too. Like, why?
what I call is rejection marketing. If they don't like sarcasm, they're not going to be a good client. So we eliminate them right off the bat.
Right. They can go somewhere else. It's not that they're a bad person. It's not that you're a bad person. It's just not a personality fit. And especially in the work we do, there has to be rapport. There has to be that connection because that's how we get to the good stuff, especially with copy, and developing offers. We can't keep it surface level intention because, yes, questions, we won't be able to get good answers, won't be able to wrestle with the hard stuff of marketing, of putting yourself out there, which can trigger people's inner psychological, traumas, and so there has to be rapport. And what better way than people, this is what you get. This is what working with me, that's why I do videos and you do more of them. You inspire me. It's like, you're gonna get the gesticulations. You're gonna get me thinking about your stuff at midnight. You're gonna get,
Well, it was funny. I
my
made a
best.
video. I made a video, and I put it on TikTok. And I'm not a big fan of TikTok. But I put it on there because TikTok right now has a better reach than a lot of the other platforms. So I put this video out there, and like the first comment I got from somebody, you know, your message needs to reach a younger audience. You need to tone down your attitude. What
Does it need to turn
And
to
I'm thinking to myself, okay, one, I put it on the wrong platform because evidently TikTok is from all these rejected teeny boppers who think they know everything. And
I don't know. You have Gen Z kids, though, don't you?
I
Right?
do. I do. I mean, I
They
have
have attitude.
my oldest is 35, my youngest is 18. But
Okay,
then I
yeah.
also have grandkids. But here's the thing is none of them are my type of client. My ideal client is that lawyer who's over 45 years old, who has a medium-sized office that, you know, might have six or seven staff members. He's the lead lawyer. You know, he just wants to grow. You know, I've dialed it down. So most of my lawyers are never going to advertise on TikTok, never see my message. Although I do have one client that's very successful because she does military law, and a lot of the military soldiers are on TikTok. They have their own
That makes sense.
subdivision called a Mil Talk or Mil Talker.
Those communities,
Right.
the talks.
But I get a better response through my videos on YouTube. I get a better response on Instagram. You know, those are the types of even on LinkedIn, because my client is actively on those networks.
Right,
So,
so you're
you know,
deliberate, being deliberate about.
I don't want to get responses from Gen Z or all these other generational people that don't fit my avatar. Yeah, okay, they have a voice. And maybe someday
There are
they'll.
lawyers on TikTok, but they haven't found you yet,
So
it's
it's market message, you know, match. So everything needs to work the way it's supposed to. And sometimes I think when we jump the shark and try to put our message somewhere else, it doesn't land right. And then you get a bunch of people, get off my lawn. No, it just so yeah, even us marketing people make mistakes because we don't. You know, we're like, I just got to put it there and someone's going to see it. No. So we experiment just like everyone else. We try to figure
test.
out and we test. And you know, there are times when we just hit home runs, grand slams, everything's great. And then there's days where we just get singles. And singles are great because, you know, they load the bases and they get us ready. And I would rather take every day as a single run, you know, get
Lay
to
add
one
up.
base, they all add up. Yeah. And I think it's tough for entrepreneurs because they always want home runs. You can't. It's
Why do
not
you think that
sustainable.
is?
I think this instant gratification world that we're living in has prepped us to always seek better. You know, everybody, and it's always, hey, you got to be perfect. Shit. I have 43 books out there to tell you I'm not perfect. There's mistakes in all of them.
Yeah, that's how we learn. There's no
That's how we learn.
failure, only feedback.
Yeah. And the thing is, am I ever going to be perfect? No, because it's going to take too long to take too much time and effort. And the ROI on perfect is not that good. So I'd
About that
rather have.
same as doing it 80% and getting it out there and getting data. Like that's the other thing. Too many businesses take too long doing the wrong thing, trying to get perfect the wrong thing. Instead of getting feedback, instead of being more deliberate, instead of being more focused, it's let's spend, a year building a website, and that's a year you didn't get data. That's a year you didn't get feedback. That's a year you didn't.
And there's so many people out there that still don't have a website. They just get their message out there on social, or they'll just make videos. And you know, I've been studying a lot of the YouTube influencers, and there's a bunch of them that do go to Disney World. They First Amendment auditors or some of these, but they've dialed in who their audience is.
That's
And
the secret. Yeah.
so they're making these videos just for that audience. And when they start doing that, their YouTube residual income goes up. You know, and And I was watching one, and I'm like, wow, pretty good. And I go over to see if he's on Instagram. Nope. On Facebook. Nope. Does he have a website? Nope.
Yep. Social first. We're definitely in a social, and we saw this at the ad agency. It's definitely a social first market right now, where your social presence, you need to treat it as seriously as you would have your website. Obviously, you still need it. I mean, I think it's a best practice to have a website. It's something you own, and I think you'd definitely agree.
Yeah,
But
because
not first touch.
you put one video out there that's bad, or it triggers somebody, and your content could be taken down. Create a website, put all those links to your social networks on there. Get
Republish your
people.
content.
And the thing is that when you make videos, transcribe them. Make those transcriptions your blog articles. Because if the video gets
Bingo.
taken down, at least they can still find the article.
Right. Well, and not to mention you're reaching multiple, what we call modalities, or like learn ideal representational system. So I prefer reading. I can, and your lawyer clients probably do too, where, I can read over 100 words per minute. I can read faster than I can watch a video. And I don't take things in well auditorily. I prefer to read them, the visual memory. So when you have a video and you have the written, and then you can even have audio, you can make blog posts audio or take the audio out of your video, put it in your blog post. Now you're reaching all of the ways that people like to consume information, and it's the same content. It's an extra couple minutes to
Well,
see the transcript turn
my
into a
latest book, Unscripted, Unfiltered, Unwoo-woo, and Unguru, was just me talking with Steve Gamlin, who appeared on the eHeroes podcast 7 times in 5 years. I transcribed it, made it a book.
bam.
And the thing is, people love the
That
book.
easy.
They think they're reading the book and they're sending me reviews and wow, it's like a master class in entrepreneurship. Yeah, but you could have listened to the blog posts for free, but they didn't. They don't. They want a book. They want something physical that they can touch, that they can
Books are
read.
magic. Every business, and you can quote me, Liz Wazy said, every business, every service provider should have a book.
And some of my one of my lawyers, we took his 300 and some podcast episodes and turned them into books. We took every year 52 episodes and
Content's
made a
there.
book. So, every year we'd pump out another book. Now he's got 6 of them, and every time a client calls, he sends them a box of books, and
This
he's
is the way to do it.
converting left and right, because now people have this library of information from.
And people don't throw away books.
They
They
don't
don't
throw
throw
away
away
books.
books, at least not in America. They don't throw away books. It's going to sit on the shelf. And when people are comparing, okay, the lawyer that has books, whether they read it or not doesn't matter, right? The lawyer that has the books versus the lawyer that is like, call me for a quote with generic blog posts. Which one are you going to pick? Well, I think if I can afford it, I'm going to pick the one that has information, is trying to be helpful, sounds like a human. They care about this. They're going to be around a long time. Look, they have a book. Other people, think they're valuable, versus this lawyer that just says, call me. I don't even know if they're still in business.
Yeah, I mean, the
'Cause
first
that
thing
can
I do
happen.
when someone calls me and they say, Rob, we want your help. I say, have you read any of my books? Well, no. Okay, I'm going to send you a package of books. And it's going to be like a $100 value. I mean, there's 5 or 6 books in there. I pop them out. And they get
Perfect.
them. And
Shock and awe package.
the funny thing is that the first thing they do, they take a picture of them with the books and send it back to me. So even if they don't become a client, I now am
I love
using their,
this.
I'm
I
now
love this for
using their
you.
image with the books
And
as a
of course,
promotional.
because you're amazing, you use it in your marketing because that's how this works.
I mean, it just so sometimes, yes, the ideal client that we really want may not buy right away, but
Oh, these things take time.
they're gonna give us something, maybe a photograph or something that shows that they care, that I can now use to sell books, to sell whatever, but yes, I make mistakes sometimes, and I accept the wrong client because they're going to match that ideal
If
avatar
only
that
they
I
did
have,
this thing, then
right?
maybe, yep.
And they're very pleasant on the phone, and they look and sound like a human, until I'm a month in, and Satan has revealed themselves through this person, and I'm like, good Lord, help me. It's like, yeah.
Oh no.
And so this is why I don't have contracts, is that it makes it easy for me to get rid of them after the 30 days if I don't feel that they're right fit. But, and it gives them a way out also if they don't think that I'm the right fit. But, usually after we get past that 90 days, I know who exactly who they are. I know, who their best friend is. I know, the name of their pets. And after that, it's usually smooth sailing. It's just that first 90 days of any transition from a new media company to another, there's going to be some speed bumps. Yeah. But, how did you come up with the whole sophistication spectrum? Because there is a lot of information there. There's a lot of ways for, any entrepreneur to improve, but it's a lot of good stuff.
I'm a systems person.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, I'm constantly, a little, a little, what they call neurodivergent, and I think differently, which is, blessing and curse, I guess. I can't think inside the box. And again, I was solving a churn problem, which they didn't ask me to solve, so they didn't appreciate it, which is why I turned into a blog post, because I gave it to them and they didn't get it, which is why I'm no longer no longer my client. It's like, it's so obvious to me why, when I thought about it, why you're churning. And I wanted an easy way to explain, okay, how do we filter out the people who aren't a good fit? How do we, along with a, the Eugene Schwartz awareness, how do we determine who is our good fit? How do we design blog posts and whatnot? So, I mean, I do this stuff naturally, but I wanted a way to explain it to the director of marketing and sales and the CEO. This is why we need to shift our services. This is why we need to add services or change who we're marketing to. And I wanted to have that discussion. But it's really, yeah, I mean, I think they just solve a churn problem. So that's how I came up with it. But I've been doing this for 18 years at this point. I think I'm finally ready to say I'm a marketer this time.
We as entrepreneurs like to offer a lot of services to people. And
You
I
can
think,
do anything, and there's so
well,
many problems to solve.
right. And I want to help people, and I do want to solve their problems. And I think there are certain things that go together, like web design and web hosting. Bring it all in-house. However, there's a caveat. Most people don't want to spend money on hosting.
Seems
And
so cheap, though.
unless you have
It's
thousands of hosting clients, hosting is a giant time suck. When a client's website goes down for whatever reason, server problems, hacking, whatever, you and your team are going to have to dedicate hundreds of hours to get that site back up, and you can't bill for it. It's just, and
Part
so
of the
you're
uptime.
wasting a lot. And so a client's paying you $50, maybe $100 a month for hosting. And you just developed, you just devoted 30 hours to fix their site to get it back up. I'm like, where am I billing that? They're not going to pay it. Who's going to send you a check for thousands of dollars because, the server broke, and now you have, their site's down
An
for 2 months.
enterprise will, but that's a different client, and they're probably not going to hire the person who like does it all. They're going to hire or do it in-house and have dedicated IT, and so it's a mixed match.
Even if you sub that hosting out to another company and it's their job to do all that, you're still going to spend half that time babysitting to get that site back up. So it's for me, there's the, I'm getting into, I'm now in my 23rd year of owning this agency. And I'm
Congrats.
looking at these services going, do I really want to continue offering certain things that are an absolute
Aren't.
time suck, that cause my brain to explode, that give me migraines? Or
Yep.
do I want to simplify things and say, look, these are the three things that I'm offering?
Right. This
And
is high value. This is why, Yep.
and that is the toughest thing for entrepreneurs. Even in my cleaning business, I offered all these things, and I'm thinking, yeah, but 80% of what I do is focused on two things. That's it.
Right.
And then the other 20% was headache.
Yeah. Do you think it's, I know for me, I have that same issue where it's like, oh, I can do a website, I do can do the automations and the integrations and the copy and the content, and I of course help with positioning, which is one of my favorite things. I can do all this stuff, but and if I narrow it down, then it'll be too easy. You know, the whole like money has to be hard, right? It'll be too easy, and who will do the other stuff? You know, because you care, but you yeah, I think it's.
And I think there's, for me, I give a lot. I do. I but there's only so much a giver can give because a taker is going to keep on taking. And you got to look at it going, okay, yeah, I want to be your friend. I'm going to be your friend first, my client second. But at a certain point, I got to say, look, friend, this is the problem we're having. So either I eliminate this or I eliminate you. What's it going to be? And it's a tough call because we don't want to look like the bad guy. You
Right. But
know,
everybody has to have boundaries. You have boundaries in relationships, you have boundaries in friendships. And this is what strategic partnerships are for, where you say, hey, you know what? I no longer offer this service. It's not making sense. You're still going to get great value. You're still going to get customers. You're still going to build your authority. Here's some other people. I've already built the network and vetted trusted people. I'm going to, you know, give you maybe my list of names that I trust. And, you know,
Yeah, and
sorry.
for
Do leave them
the
with something,
well,
but
yeah,
maybe
but
not, you know.
for the typical entrepreneur, giving something up, giving the client up is one of the toughest things that they can do. But I've always
Yeah.
discovered that when I got rid of a client that no longer served my mental capacity anymore, I've always gotten somebody that was greater, that spent more money, that gave me more value,
Made
that.
space.
Yeah, but it's that time in between, because they always say one door closes, another door opens. No, sometimes the door closes and it's closed for good. You got to go out a window or something. You find another way. You develop a different system. And you revamp your marketing so that you're getting better types of clients, or you dial it down so that you're saying, look, I only serve this type of client. You don't match it. Adios. And it's I if I see it all the time. And especially through COVID, a lot of people decided, hey, yeah, we can't stick to this level anymore because we're not making any money. We're gonna go deal with, everybody just so that we can get the bills paid. And then they're
But then you don't get good referrals because you're getting scattershot referrals. Your testimonials are scattershot. Your marketing, now you've got to market to 10 different avatars instead of one or two. It's a scarcity, and this is the hardest thing I think for solopreneurs to get over and small businesses to get over is it's a scarcity-minded decision out of fear. And it is always harder to build that generalist positioning than it is to double down on, I am the person who does X for Y to get Z. You know, always, always, always.
And once you lower your price, even if it's temporary, it's
No
harder to
one will pay
raise
it.
them because people are saying, well, I got this at a discount from you before. Why are you charging me more? So everybody, I want you to send your fear away. I want you to contact Lynn right now.
Unless they're fit for you, then please
Well,
contact you instead.
yeah, if you love sarcasm, okay, we can work
You're a
together.
lawyer.
But if you don't like my attitude, please, yeah, visit Lynn. And where would they go? Where do you have a website?
LynnSwayze.com, LynnSwayze.com, just like Patrick. All the relation, none of the dance skills.
Yeah.
It
But you love Queen, so that really
makes
saved
up for
COVID,
it,
right?
right?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, I'm not too wild about the new singer, but the thing is, he's as flamboyant as Freddie was, and it's getting that music out to the next generation, and for me, entrepreneurship has always come down to two things: freedom and legacy. Freedom to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and to the benefit of whom I want. And legacy, what am I leaving behind for the next generation? You know,
Love it.
the music from Queen has been generational. Every new generation, you know, discovers the music, and it's my kids love it. I love it. My grandkids are getting into it.
Yeah.
And so to me,
Magic.
it's yeah, it is magic. And I think that's the effect that entrepreneurs need to have on their clients. You know, what is what we're doing right now teaching the next generation? What's that magic going to look like? So we'll leave that with everybody to contemplate on. And please visit Lynn at lynnswayze.com. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.